I feel like I waited too long to do this because what really got me into it was, you know, the small steps that I took. The first step was, you know, not even quitting. It's like, it just, I couldn't do my job, so I had no choice. I was like, it's almost as if the opportunity was just presented to me. Like, hey, do you want to, you know, I mean, there's nothing I could do. So at that time, when the video game company hired me, it was like the first little step where I was like, hey, I could actually do what I like to do for a living. And now, you know, I'm actually 37 years old. I mean, I probably don't look that age. So a lot of people think I look younger, but I feel like, you know what, why did I wait for COVID to hit, you know, until I literally couldn't do anything else? Why didn't I start 10 years ago?
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Armagon, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel P, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Well, welcome to Talking Comics. I appreciate you guys reaching out and wanting to be on and, you know, want to get to know you guys a little bit more. But before we dive into your comic, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Southern California. I kind of studied international business. You know, I was trying to focus on something more serious before COVID hit. During COVID, I had the opportunity to start working on video games out here. I did mention that I moved to China. I was living in China for a bit. And I was working for a video game company out here. And that got me back into writing stories and a lot of fiction. And that's actually when I started writing our comic book, was on my breaks.
That's really cool. So what kind of, I know it says, I think in your bio that you worked on some name brand, like really high name video games. Can you share those?
I wouldn't say they're high name, because a lot of them are like, they made a lot of money worldwide. So they're Chinese games, and there's probably thousands of games that you've probably never heard of. But the reason they make so much money is because they're mobile. So they're mobile apps. There's this ton of mobile apps out there. Mobile app games, right, that are making millions like yearly. And so I worked on those. We had a lot of RPG, a lot of multiplayer games where you kind of build your empire. And the one I was working in is kind of like medieval times. So I had to create characters in that time period. And then I was working on a lot of skins for the characters. And people paid a lot of money, you know, to buy these characters, buy their skins. We had a game that was kind of like, we had a lot of high fiction games, and my medieval game was more low fiction, so I'm more comfortable with that, which is why I like science fiction, because science fiction is also not very high fantasy. So that's my comfort zone.
Well, yeah, that's pretty neat. The creating of skins and stuff, is that what got you into, like, do you do a lot of the artwork too for the comic?
No, actually, for our comic, we hired an artist, a very skilled artist. And then for our mobile app game, so the name is called King's Throne. You can actually look it up if you want. A lot of people don't actually play this game. And the age, actually, our most, you know, common player is over 40 years old, like 50. So that's probably why, you know, it's not one of those, it's not Assassin's Creed or anything.
I'm over
like that.
40. Hey. Maybe that's why I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you're welcome to try it out, of course. But
go ahead if you finish that thought.
No, I was just saying, you're welcome to try it out. You might like it. Who knows?
Oh. But yeah, I'll look into it.
Yeah, a lot of the artwork, I was like one of the main leads on that game. It was only two of us, because we had like six games and we had like 12 main narrative designers is what they called us. So it was like two per game, something like that. So,
because I know nothing about this, can you tell me So you created the skin. So are you drawing them? Like, how does that work? How does creating a skin work?
So the game was actually already built when I got there, and I got familiar with the game, the main characters, and basically you collect all it's like collecting cards of characters, and each card has like a value, a power value, attack, defense. So I was working on every month we'd create like four new characters, and the way we create them is we would use Google Docs actually, and we'd create this. We'd use a template that we came up with, and we'd describe every detail about the character. So what's on his head, what color is his eyes, his neck, or, his torso, everything. And they all depended on what type of character he was. So I made some musician type characters, some warriors, some, you know, mystics. I had all type of characters. And then the skins were the same, basically use the same template, like, hey, this is a character. And we'd use an extra template where it was like, now we're going to change his clothes. And it was a lot more experimental. Like, you could go, this is where we added a little bit more high fantasy. You know, he had like mystic powers or had a dragon with them, stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I'm not big into high fantasy, but it was my comfort zone. Like, I was creating, you know, I like medieval times. I was reading up into all types of history all over the world. So creating Asian characters, European, African characters, and really sticking to their history. And then in their skin, I would go into the myths. So for example, there was an African character I created who was actually, he was the king of one of the countries. And then for his skin, there's some myths around him that he used to carry this bag that was like infinite. Apparently he could take anything he wanted out, and people believed that to be true. So what I did in the skin is I adapted that, those kind of myths or lores about the characters, into that skin.
That was kind of cool. So you said you started working there and then you got the inspiration, and go behind the inspiration behind your comic book. Like, where did that start?
Okay, so when I was working at that company, video game company, I always wanted them to put me into something sci-fi, and they would ask us every monthly, like, do you have any ideas for games? And I'd always push something about, you know, something like Metal Gear Solid, or, you know, this kind of tactical games, trying to push something that I would really want to create myself. But it was really hard because you're probably not familiar, but it takes about at least $1 million just to get a concept going of a game. There's so much investing because, yeah, you got to pay the artists, you got to pay the programmers, and it's really expensive. I didn't know that either. There's actually games that we lost a lot of money on, that just, they weren't doing good in the testing. So they had a sci-fi game, and it fell through because of the testing was just not there. But on my breaks, I would just start writing characters and that I thought were interesting. And sometimes I read into like history. A lot of my time was spent on researching history. So sometimes I'd take some time and kind of start building my own world at the same time. Like, I'd have my work, and then ideas that I thought would fit my game, comic. I started incorporating that. So I built this whole universe out, and I had main characters. And then I brought it up to some of my friends, Jacob, who's like one of my friends from college. We always wanted to work together on something, and I brought it up to him. And then he brought in Marcus, which is our third founder, who is like big into comics. He's probably the one with the most comics out of all of us. So he brought him in because we wanted, you know, his expertise. Like, I have expertise in creating characters, building stories, narratives, all of that. But I've never written a comic. So he comes in and makes sure that, you know, this is the right path. And Jacob is more on the business side. Like, he also studied business with me, but he also did he's into like cybersecurity and stuff. So he takes care of anything technical, you know, having to do with like any website or there's a lot of technicalities when dealing with marketing, especially. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know. And
it's not easy.
Yeah. So he takes a lot of that workload, you know, when dealing with technology and stuff like that.
Okay, so we really haven't even talked about the comic yet. So go into the name and tell us about the comic itself real quick.
Okay, well, it's great that I've never actually explained this to anyone before, but the name of the comic is, yeah, I've only been on two other podcasts, I believe, but we never actually got into the name of the reason of the name, but we named it Indigo Genesis. Now, the name Indigo, it's missing an I, so it's I-N-D-G-O. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They're like, is it Indigo or is it I-N-D-G-O? And the reason behind that...
I called it Indigo myself.
The reason I did that was because I put a lot of thought behind everything. Like, I don't just go in and write a story right away. I put a lot of thought into it. And Indigo is the name of this organization in the future. And the year is 2064. So it's kind of like SpaceX, but, you know, a little bit more sci-fi. And they're just trying to save humanity. And the reason for the name being Indigo, I-N-D-G-O, is because I was trying to come up with a name that would fit something futuristic. So in my, like, for example, SpaceX, you know, I feel like names are getting shorter. I don't know if you've realized that, but, like, in my opinion, like, brands are just, like, cutting off letters. And now it's like, oh, we have the X app, we have the M app coming up or whatever. So I just threw that into, like, okay, I like Indigo. Like the color that's actually indigo behind me, but how can I make it shorter? So that I know it might be a little bit. I put a lot of thought into it. So in the beginning, you know, you see it and you're just like, I don't understand, you know. But I think people will get used to it, hopefully.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I was like, I spelt it with an I when I was typing the script, but then I was like, wait, it doesn't have an I in it. We'll go over that.
And that's so, my explanation, yeah.
I love it. So go into, like, what is the story about? It's about leaving Earth, saving humanity. Like, go into that a little bit.
This is the part I have the most trouble with because it's just so much. It's a lot. But I've reworked it, and I've tried to come up with a simple way to explain it. But basically, we're in a futuristic Earth, so it's the year 2064, and our protagonists are basically working for the company called Indigo. And what they're doing is mining a resource called helium-3 that's on the moon. And the reason they're mining this fuel is because a decade before, there was a big solar flare that just destroyed technology. And there's obviously no fossil fuels in the future. So their best solution to that was, you know, okay, we're going to mine helium-3 and export it back to Earth. That's the main premise here. But what happens immediately once you get into the story is that there's this, like, big catastrophe, basically. And it's like everybody's panicking. It's like the end of the world. But I hope you have questions for me because I really want to get input on my presentation of it.
Yeah, no, it's so one of my questions, I got to read the intro story. I read it this morning and I enjoyed it. It was fantastic. I love, like yourself, I love sci-fi stuff. I also love high fantasy stuff as well. Medieval times. I'm all into that stuff. I play a lot of, you know, board games and medieval games and all kinds of stuff, you know, not much digital stuff, but I love space stuff. So I was into it right away. But one question that just popped in my head when you were going through this, you know, is, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned like the no fossil fuels. What made you choose 2064? Like, that's not that far from now. That's only 40 years from now, 39 years from now. Like, I hope I'm still, well, I don't know. I won't be alive then, but close.
Yeah.
Well, my kids will. I have two kids that are young, so.
Well, like I said, I put a lot of thought into it. So it's not just like I chose a random number. But there's two reasons. The first reason I would say is because sci-fi is all about technology, if you look at it realistically. And there are some experts that deal with artificial intelligence, and they're putting a date on artificial intelligence, like singularity, AI singularity. I don't know if you've heard about it, but basically it's where AI is just going to surpass us. They're going to be I don't want to throw a random number out there, but it's like hundreds and thousands of times smarter than human beings. So that singularity is supposed to hit in 2050, around that time, which is also the time of the solar flare. I hope I'm not losing you. You see it? No, it's connecting. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I was like,
you're back. Please. All right, yeah. Cool.
I was like, please don't lose it.
All right. I lost you at singularity for AI. They're 100,000 times smarter than all of us.
Right.
What'd you say right after that?
So experts are putting a year on when we're going to reach that point, which is around 2050. Some even say sooner, like 2045, but it's around that time, which is around the time where this solar flare is also happening. And that's going to come into the story later on, but for now, that's the premise. And then, so I chose 2064 because we're trying to put the story right after the singularity. So technology, AIs, they're a fundamental part of the story. The second reason, which is like the secret reason, and I don't know if I should, I don't know. Sometimes let me give you an example. Like they ask Christopher Nolan sometimes like, hey, like what's the meaning of this movie? And he did explain back when, like one of his first movies, he explained it, and they told him like, never do it again. Like you need that mystery.
For sure.
But I'll let you know on the name. It's not that secret, but, and it's a little bit of a weird mystic explanation, but are you familiar with gematria or gematria? It's basically like in the Hebrew language, like letters have a numeric value. And that's why they say like the Bible, like there's certain books that are like, they have codes within them and they can be decoded. But basically 2064 translates to wormwood, which is, without getting like too religious or anything, but it's just, I thought it was a nice way to put the story in there. In the Bible, it talks about it doesn't specifically say it's like an asteroid, but they call it wormwood, and it's supposed to impact Earth. So I was like, okay, that's what we're going to name this asteroid, wormwood. And so its numeric value is 2064. If that makes sense.
Hey, that's awesome. I was going to, one of my questions later on, was there any hidden Easter eggs in your comic? Yeah. But that seems like it's a big one.
to be honest, I wanted people to find that out by themselves. But I was thinking, you know, why not? There's so many other Easter eggs. You know, why not? Let me give a freebie out there.
Okay. Yeah. And so you are going to continue this on as a series, right? Like this is like a 70 some page graphic novel right now.
It's the first volume, and it's about 70 pages. We already have three volumes in mind, but we've only finished one, like the artwork and stuff. Obviously, the artwork is a little bit on the more expensive part of it. So that's why we're going, you know, we're trying to fund one by one.
Do any of the co-creators, do they do some of the art, or are you hiring outside artists?
I would say I'm probably the more artistic one, but even myself, I'm not confident. It's not even about confidence. It's just, we want to put something out there that's, you know, great and amazing. And as we want to hire a professional, basically.
Awesome. So go into the partnership. Like how did that, you know, you said you wanted to be in business with Jacob. You had another friend that was all into comic books. Like how did go into that? And did you have any struggles in trying to create all that and come together? Like what was the creative process like in that?
Well, like I said, I talked to Jacob first, and we had a lot of ideas for products because I was out here in China. And before I was working for the video game company, I was already involved in like export. And one of my passions is product design. And I had already designed some products where I told Jacob, look, like I've been designing these products as, you know, just my passion. Like I had made like a speaker design, and all of my designs were very futuristic. I always wanted my products to look like they're not from this time, you know, they're like a relic from the future. And I had like a backpack I made, and he kind of basically said like, man, these are awesome. Like let's make them. And we just started funding, you know, the prototype creation part. But we ran into a lot of problems because it was our first time. And even though I knew about exporting, at that time I was doing like seafood. It was just like random, just the ideas that were, I was getting, it was just like all over the place. And when we started funding the speaker, I was working with this factory and I was asking, what is the cost? And they were like, oh, it's about 2,000, 5,000. I was like, okay, everything's under 10,000. That's something that we can actually do. But what they didn't tell me was once we had a prototype, and I was like, great, like this cost is like, it was like 5,000 or 6,000 that we put in at the time. They were like, okay, well, since it's a own design, meaning like factories have designs for you that are certified to sell, but that one was our own design. They were like, well, now you got to get it certified. And I was like, okay, what I need to do? And they're like, you need to get it tested, like the battery tested. And that's going to run you about $20,000. And we were like, okay, all right, let's, you know, take some steps back and then, you know, figure out what we really want to do. And then I showed them the backpack, and then we started making prototypes for the backpack. That one, you know, not as high of a cost, no testing required because there's no lithium batteries in it. But then we realized like, okay, how are we going to crowdfund this? You know, we could do a Kickstarter and stuff. So we were stuck in that kind of phase for a while, you know, at one point we were thinking like, we're not really sure if we're actually going to get these products out. Okay. So we were stuck in this limbo, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, it's not as cost effective as we thought. And at that time, COVID hit, and there was no export. I don't know if you probably heard, like, everything was closed. There's nothing coming in or out. And people were actually like afraid, you know, like, oh, you know, toilet paper is going to run out. There's no factories making toilet paper. And okay, so COVID hit, and I started working for this company making video games. It was kind of a lucky thing because I went to a friend's birthday party and I met someone who was working in that company, and we were just talking about, you know, what we do. And I told him like, well, I have a passion for design and for writing. They're like, oh, great. Like, we're actually looking for writers. And that's how I got into the video game company. And like I said before, I won't go back over it, but basically I got hired, and then I was doing stories, and then I would write my own stories on my breaks. And then that's what happened. I told Jacob brought in Marcus, and then we were like, let's do this comic book. And a little surprise, we're actually trying to bring like the speaker and the backpack all into, you know, we have a lot of ideas that we want to bring in. The TCG though is what's coming out first. We already have a trading card game in mind for, you know, coming out very soon. We already incorporated the cards. I don't know if you've seen our Kickstarter, but you can already you make your own custom cards.
Yeah, so I did see. I looked at that. I noticed the TCG that resonated with me because I do a lot of board games and card games and, you know, stuff like that. I used to own a hobby shop and sold those things, you know, TCG games and stuff. So I loved, you know, that's more my area of expertise, not expertise, but where I live. Comics is like I'm getting back to. Like I enjoyed comics as a kid, but then my daughter got into it and we've been doing it together and absolutely you know, love doing comic book stuff. So we do this show together, you know, on the week, every week. And then I've started doing the creator interviews, which has been a lot of fun too. But the go into like, what, why did you decide to do the game with it?
But, the TCG basically came in as an idea because as I was creating this universe, there was just more and more factions that were coming out. You know, I had, well, I can tell you the first three. There's already at least 9 factions that I have in mind, but I'll tell you the first three, which are already on the Kickstarter, are the Tellurians, which is like a, like an ancient aquatic species. So they were on Earth before humans. We have the Synths, which are basically robotic. I call them synthetic beings because they're trying to become human in a way. Like they have lab grown muscle, like muscles like growing on like an actual exoskeleton. So like they have a titanium body. So they're looking kind of human, but at the same time, not human. You've seen some of the artwork. And then the last faction, we have the humans, which are obviously the good guys, because we'll have some other factions of humans that are the bad guys, basically. But these are the ones working alongside Indigo, who has like this technology. And so a lot of them have like these, like, have you seen Metal Slug? I believe is the name of the game. You know, and you have these like big kind of, it's an arcade game, but you have these robots where the player jumps into and stuff. And they have all these like big, crazy, you know, different types of like machines. So you can see some of that in the artwork. I know I only have one card there, but we have tons of artwork already. We just haven't like showed people yet, but we have the faction. So the that's the faction part. The other part about it is that I'm sure you're probably familiar with Gwent, the game Gwent from The Witcher 3.
Yes.
I play a lot of trading card games. Well, when I was young, but what I found out is that a lot of them are really hard to get into. They're not very. It takes time, you know. You got to do a lot of movements, and there's a lot of strategy. Especially if you play like Magic: The Gathering, for example, it's just like a crazy game to try to learn. But when I played The Witcher 3, I was like totally addicted to this mini game in the game, where it's like it's also a trading card game, but it's just so simple. And obviously, a part of the reason that it's simple, it's because everything is automatic. So like you'll play a card out, and it'll do all this stuff like attack and. So I think that's part of the reason why it's simple, but it just gave me this idea, you know, like card games don't have to be so complicated, because a lot of people will not want to play it if they find it hard to learn. So that's my idea behind our TCG. It's like, I'm bringing the universe together and I'm just going to make it as simple as possible. Obviously it has to be fun and I'm sure you'll like it. But I want people who don't know anything about TCGs to also enjoy the first few times they play it. So that's kind of the inspiration where I got it from.
Are you going to do, so I saw the TCG, like, if you're going to do packs, are you doing like a starter pack or a starter box, or how do you get into the game?
So we decided to, for now, the cards are playable. They're going to be playable, but we don't have the game. The game is not ready to be played yet. But the way we want to do it is they're going to be random packs. So it means that you'll buy, we have like a pack, they're all in packs of 10s, but you can get like a 1-pack, 3-pack or 5-pack. You can actually get as many packs as you want, but we're not going to have a full set for the game. So that's why we incorporated the custom card, because we don't want people to feel like, oh, well, I'm buying these cards, but I can't play them. Well, we wanted to bring something that, you know, they could at least enjoy. It's like they can create their own character if they want to. And then part two, which is, you know, our campaign is almost over, but we'll try to get part two out there as soon as possible. We're going to bring in 3 more factions. And then it's going to be similar concept to what we have right now. But once we have all 6, Then we're going to try to make a Kickstarter strictly for the TCG where we're going to introduce the ability cards. Because right now it's only characters. But once we bring out the full TCG, it's like we'll have like the board game, the actual physical board you play on, some extra pieces, extra cards, and hopefully it all makes sense. Hopefully people
all come together.
Yeah.
By the third, in the third Kickstarter. So the Kickstarter, you've done a phenomenal job. You know, you're at over $14,000, you know, 700% funded. You know, what went into that? Go into like, how would you help somebody that's struggling on Kickstarter? You know, I've talked to people that, you know, don't get funded, you know, and then there's people that barely get funded, you know. Go into what was your strategy? Like, what would you get? What advice would you give somebody trying to start out on Kickstarter?
So we worked with Launch Boom. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but because we never did a crowdfunding campaign in our lives, we're like, we need help. And we reached out to Launch Boom, and they basically gave us a step-by-step basically guide to all things about how to do a successful crowdfunding. And a lot of it came down to marketing before the you know, pre-campaign marketing. And honestly, we made a lot of mistakes. We threw a lot of money out that we didn't see any results, but that's part of the, you know, that's part of the whole crowdfunding thing. It's like the main part in the beginning, it's like, you're going to spend a lot of money. Like, I mean, it's up to everyone's budget, but like, you're going to be looking at, let's say $5,000 is going to go into testing the artwork. So what we do is we send out ads, and the ads are all going to be different. It's called like A/B testing, something like that. And you'll start seeing like which one are people responding to, which one has more watch time or gets more clicks. And you're going to be feeling like I'm spending so much money. But once you get closer to the campaign, it's like, you know, now what is working and what isn't. And then at that point, it's like, okay, now you're successful. And to be honest, we're not going to see a lot of that profit from this first campaign because of all this testing that we did. Is trial and error. But what we're looking at is long term. You know, we're like, we spent this money because we wanted to know what works now, and then part two, we'll execute already on. So that's kind of my tip for people trying to start their first Kickstarter, or maybe they tried but it didn't work. It's mainly our success has to do a lot in part with that pre-campaign marketing that we did and finding out what works.
That makes sense. But what influences, do you have any like, you know, creators or artists that influenced your work that you look up to or?
You know, when I was a kid, I used to buy Spawn. I don't know what brought me into Spawn, because it was a very, you know, dark, and it was very different. Like, I also bought Superman and of course like DC, some Marvel, but Spawn, I don't know what got me into Spawn. And what I realized later, I mean, as a kid, we don't really do research into like the writers or the artists. But what I found out later is that Todd McFarlane, I believe he's the, like the founder of Image Comics, and he branched off of DC, I believe. Or Marvel is one of those. And he inspired me because he's like, you know what? Like comics don't need to be all about superheroes. Like it can be about this. And he was kind of one of the first ones. I'm not really sure about all the, you know, the history behind it, but he was one of the first ones that did non-superhero comics. And that's kind of what we are. You know, if it wasn't for him, you know, maybe we wouldn't have done, you know, maybe we'd go in more in the superhero direction. You know, you never know, but you know, props to him for, you know, being brave and just being like, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, I would say like, he's one of my inspirations in the comic industry.
That's similar to me. Like I enjoyed Dick Tracy comics when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the new series of Dick Tracy, but a lot of people don't know about Dick Tracy because you know, it wasn't the cool superhero, right? He was just a detective with a cool Apple Watch in the 40s, you know. Yeah. But but that was really cool to me is, you know, like what you just said about, you know, comics don't have to be all about superheroes. It can be a story. It can be about anything, you know. And I'm actually I came up with my own like little mascot, and I want to try to create a comic series around the mascot for the podcast. So that'll be interesting. We'll see where it goes. When people read your book, like I read your first sample, it's just the intro, right? I enjoyed it. But what do you want people to come away with when they finish like the first issue?
Well, obviously it's, we compacted the first three issues into a volume. We were going to sell the issues separately, but we were like, you know what? Kickstarter kind of favors volumes. So it's like, that's why it's 70 pages, basically three issues compacted into a volume. And the first part, and I don't know if, you know, I'm hoping people enjoy the story, but part one is basically my way of introducing the characters. I'm just like, I'm trying to introduce as many characters and plot as I can. But it's hard.
Issue one is always hard, right? Because you got so much to build to.
Right. And so part one, I tried to fit as much of the story as I could, but a lot of it is like character introduction. But it's very fun. I mean, that's my point, is that in my mind, I was like, how can I make part one like epic? Like, yes, we're doing introductions, but how can I make it fun? And we managed to do it. It wasn't just me. Marcus gave me a lot of ideas and a lot of pointers, and we crafted a very nice volume. Like, I'm not just saying it because I'm trying to, you know, obviously market my comic book, but people will enjoy it, because by the end of volume one, people will know like all of the characters. Like, I know who are the good guys, I know who are the bad guys, and I know the main, you know, what is about to happen, basically. So that'll get them
antagonist into, or...
yeah, the antagonist is coming later. It's such a big universe that I couldn't fit it all in. I was like, what is the most important thing in there? And it's basically just getting the story started. But once they finish volume one, I'm pretty sure they're going to want to jump into part two as quick as possible.
For sure. How long, around November volume one comes out. How long before volume two? Maybe another year?
No. We're going to, obviously it took us a long time because we had to get the characters right. We had to get the story right. So it did take us about a year or more. It probably took over a year for part one, but we want to do part two in less than half of that. We want to have people have the part two or volume two in their hands about 6 months after part one, if that makes sense. Because I think it's like not too long and it gives us enough time to find, we're trying to bring more people in right now. Our artist is actually doing inking and coloring. So we want to divide that. You know, he's told us as well. He's like, oh, I can't make so much artwork. You know, it's a lot of work. So we are going to find a colorist. So that will shrink the time in half, hopefully.
Yeah. What is your biggest challenge you faced in the creative process?
Big question. But I think that, you know, I'm trying to think back to when we first started. The writing part is the easiest because I was super excited. I was just like, oh man, I have all these ideas. But what became hard was when we started to bring in the artists and getting the work done. It's like my writing just went like da 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 da, da, and the artwork is like so slow. So it's like right now I have three parts already in my head finished, and the artwork is just, I mean, I'm not blaming the artists at all. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody can relate. It's like, it just takes so much time unless you have a big studio or, you know, production team. But that's the hardest part. It's And I maybe it comes down to, like, you know, our budget. It's like, maybe if we had a bigger budget, we'd have more artists, and they could even do like each one artist per issue. That would be amazing. But that's the hardest part, is working on a low budget, you know, and trying to come up with something huge.
Which one of the characters is your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
That's a tough one. It's a tough one. I did mention, if you look at my Instagram, I you probably don't have it, but I'll share it to you later. I've been making character introductions. I've only done two so far, but I did say Kaito was my favorite. So there's five. We have Xander, who's the main protagonist. He's the leader of the group. And then we have Kaito, who's like a half human, half samurai, like, but it's like robot, robotic samurai. His name is Kaito. We have Damian Diaz Ortega. That's a long name, but they call him Ordi or Ortega. We have a scientist. Sorry. So Ortega is, he's like the tank character. I don't know if you're aware, like you've heard that before, but he's basically the big guy, the muscle guy. That's Ortega. He's an expert in like big machinery, basically. So he's going to be the big guy in this huge, I forgot what they call him, but it's basically like Gundam.
Like a mech,
you know?
Suit?
Like a mech, yeah.
Like a mech suit.
But it's like, yeah, big robot with guns. So that's going to be Ortega. By the sound of his name, he's like Latino. Xander is American. Kaito, Japanese, obviously. We have a doctor, Dr. Odd. He's a Swiss scientist. You know, he's working at CERN. So he knows all about like quantum physics and all this stuff. He's like the smart guy. And I based him off of Emmett Brown, Doc Emmett Brown from Back to the Future. Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies, like of all time.
Okay.
And I also love Rick and Morty, which is also based off of Back to the Future. And I was like, I have to have that mad scientist, mad genius in there. So that's him. And 100%. Then our fifth character is Zaya. Zaya is, I have a lot of Russian friends that I met, and I always feel like Russian, especially the women, are very happy. I mean, like, you always think of Russia being like this cold country, and they even explain that their culture is very cold. Like, you can't be smiling or laughing because they find that weird. But like, Russian women are very tender. And so it just came to my mind. I was like, I obviously need a female character in there. And I wanted to have an Asian character to start with, but I felt more relatable. I don't know, at that time, I was just like, you know, I could really create a character that relates to, you know, the friends around me, because I just felt like I know them so well. Azaya is actually another Easter egg. It means rabbit in the Russian language, but it's also a term of endearment. So it's like when you say like sweetheart. So in Russian, they call someone like Zaya. It's like a rabbit. And I'm in the Chinese horoscope, I'm a rabbit. So I was like, that's like a little Easter egg in there. Her real name is, she has a real name, but everybody's going to call her Zaya. So it's like, that's her name. But she does have like a real name. And she's like a spy. So the Russian spy, you know. That I'm also a big James Bond fan, so. So you get the reference there. Spy Who Loved Me.
KGB. Yeah. Love that. If you could have a dream collaborator, who would you want to work with on this or anything?
Well, since I'm the writer, there's a few writers I would like to work with. But if I could have, like, obviously, like an artist creating our comic, I'm not sure if I pronounce it right. Mateo Scolera. He's made a lot of artwork that I like. Marcus introduced me to a comic called Black Science, and he was like he's the lead artist there. And I looked him up and everything. Like, he's a big artist, a big name, and we'd like to have that association. Like, if in the future we have like part three with artist Mateo, it would be awesome. But yeah, that's just off the top of my head. That's one of the names I would love to work.
A good one. What advice would you give like aspiring creators?
So we already talked about Kickstarter, right? The crowdfunding
Kickstarter
side.
Yep.
But I feel like your question is more geared towards someone who wants to start a project but doesn't know how. Would you say that? That's a good direction.
So a lot of my conversations like this turn into like more motivation for creators, right? So I talk to a lot of small creators because I'm small too, right? So I like to just to give some inspiration. Like, you know, a year ago, if you told me that I would be sitting in front of a microphone and a camera, I would have called you crazy. I hated my voice. I hated the way I look. But now I love it. Like I'm thriving in this.
You have a nice face for it. You got the beard. And
thank
everything.
You. It's the beard. It's the best feature I have. But like I'm very extroverted. So, you know, I spend a lot of time at home, but you know, and I have kids and stuff, but you know, doing this with my kid, I do a weekly show with my daughter where we go over comics and stuff and play silly games. And we have a lot of fun. And then getting to meet people like yourself and other creators, it's just, I want to be there and motivate others and help others, you know, create or sell or whatever they want to do. So that's kind of where that question comes from.
Sure. So the first thing that comes to my mind is something that's very personal to me. Basically, I was trying to create a career out of, you know, business. My major is in business, international business, exporting. But to be honest, it's like I don't have a lot of, I mean, that's not something you could say is your passion, or at least is my passion. And I feel like I waited too long to do this because what really got me into it was, you know, the small steps that I took. The first step was, you know, not even quitting. It's like, it just, I couldn't do my job. So I had no choice. I was like, it's almost as if the opportunity was just presented to me. Like, hey, do you want to, you know, I mean, there's nothing I could do. So at that time, when the video game company hired me, it was like the first little step where I was like, hey, I could actually do what I like to do for a living. And now, you know, I'm actually 37 years old. I mean, I probably don't look that age. So a lot of people think I look younger, but I feel like, you know what, why did I wait for COVID to hit, you know, until I literally couldn't do anything else? Why didn't I start 10 years ago, you know, when that was already my passion? So basically my advice is, you know, whether you're 20 or 30 or 40, age doesn't really matter. What I want to say is like, start as soon as possible. You just, whatever you have a passion for, just do it. Just do it. Cause you're going to regret you're going to regret it later if you never do.
Being, you know, in my early 40s, I'm very entrepreneurial as well. So like my whole life, I've always wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, I've worked the normal jobs. I have a day job. But my day job actually started was a startup company. So I helped, that's what drew me to it, was a startup. And I loved helping startups and starting my own things. The last, you know, I owned a hobby shop. I did it for, you know, almost 7 years. Ended up selling it and helping my oldest daughter do something else. But I miss that owning my own thing and running my own thing again. And that's something that this podcast has actually helped me with, is it's filling that entrepreneurial itch that I've had.
Yeah.
Cause it's a project and it's a, you know, it's a business. Like, you know, I don't make anything and don't pay me. So it's just like all my other business ideas. but
that's how it starts, huh?
It's filling that, right. That's how it starts. And like I said, I'm in my 40s. Why not? Like, you know, yeah, I wish I would have done it 10 years ago, but I'm doing it now and I'm going to continue doing it. I'm having a lot of fun meeting a lot of people. And it's filling that entrepreneurial itch for a not as big of an investment, you know, because it doesn't cost as much to do, you know, a podcast. So that's nice. It's still some money, but it's not bad. And it'll come back. But that's what I love about this. And you seem very like-minded in that sense of very business entrepreneurial, you know, wanting to do your own thing. So what is something that I haven't asked you that you want to cover or need to cover?
Wow. Is this one of
obviously we're going to put the Kickstarter, right? We're going to, you know, do the kick. I got all day. We can spend all day on here, but that was the end of those questions. I have more questions on fun stuff, but
okay.
I like to give people the opportunity to, you know, if I didn't ask something, they're like, man, I really wish you would ask me this. You know, I like to give everybody just some time to, like, you know, whatever you want to cover.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. It's like, we covered the TCG. We covered the main story. We covered even like the products. I mean, a lot of it, this is very, you know, into the future. We don't even know if it's going to be next year or 2 years from now, but we already have products that are ready to sell that are actually associated with the comic. Like a lot of my creativity, what I enjoy doing is tying things together, you know? So that's why we have the TCG that is directly linked to the story. I want to throw in some products in there that are, you know, used by the protagonist that are very futuristic. For example, I have an idea for a jetpack that the characters are going to use. And the backpack is going to kind of fill that in. It's like, hey, we have a backpack design. Why not make it look like a jetpack? And people can get that kind of merchandise later on. There is one thing I do want to talk about. It's basically I'm a collector, so I collect things like the Funkos, if you're familiar with those. Yeah, mm-hmm. I see you have a few in the background. So, so one of the things I wanted to talk about is that one of my dreams, and it's actually in the Kickstarter page, is after we reach 15,000, we're going to release a t-shirt. But if we do get to 20, I already have a factory who is willing to create these, not action figures, but I guess you would call them figurines, of our characters. And I already have the character in mind, and I'll give you a little bit of a background of what it's going to be. But there's a character that's going to come out later. She's not one of the protagonists, but she's important to the story. She's one of the, I want to say, I don't know, I don't think she's an antagonist, but she's like a Loki character. You know, she's like, is she good or is she bad or is she both?
Okay.
So she rides a motorcycle, and she has this really cool like helmet with little horns on them. And obviously we're thinking like, what character would be good? And we thought about Xander, who's the main protagonist. We thought about, you know, he has like the pistols. He's the cowboy in the future. We thought about Zaya, who's like the female character. And she has like a lot of these holographic. So she controls like drones and stuff with her hands. But then we were like, you know, who is a really badass? And sorry for my language, badass character, but
fine.
Her name's Amelia, and we actually have her on. She's the other character, the other female character that's in the ads. So she rides this cool motorcycle. So we were thinking, if we reach 20,000, we can release a figurine of her riding her motorbike, and she's wearing this cool helmet with the horns, and she's even probably got a gun, you know, like explosions in the background. We have this big idea. So the reason I want to mention it is because we can't do it unless we reach that stretch goal. And if we don't reach it, then I guess it's going to have to wait until part two.
Two, right. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can push it for the next, you know, few days. You got a few more days.
3 days.
But three more days, I think. So yeah. 3 days. You're at almost 15 to unlock the t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm huge into products too. So like when I own my store, I created my own product line on stuff. Like I created, you know, mats for tabletop war games, you know, like giant mouse pads and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like, so I love the whole product and the import export stuff and dealing with all that. It was a nightmare, but it was fun. And, you know, I want to get back into that eventually, but I'm actually got, you know, I need to figure out how to create my, my mascot. I want to create like a stuffy or a, you know, stuffed animal of my mascot, just a little one, not a big one, but So I'm going to work on that.
Well, one of my ideas actually, you know, in the near future would be once we get all of this, you know, we're familiar with like figurines, you know, the creation part, and we have the contacts, we have like the printing. One of my other ideas is kind of helping other creators, like for example, yourself. Like I'm sure you maybe you already have like a manufacturer in mind or something, but if you didn't, let's say you're someone new who has a lot of ideas but they don't know where to start, like we want to offer that. And that's the reason we put Indigo Comics as a stamp on our in the top corner, because I have an issue here, but it's not the right one. We've been modifying, playing with it. But the reason for that is because we want to become a company that can publish other
anything
creators. Yeah.
Other brands.
Yeah, yeah. Basically that's our business. This is our comic, but we're
way too much alike.
Yeah.
Cause like that's the same thing I do. Like I want to help other people start podcasts.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.
Like, I went through this whole process this year of doing it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, a year ago, I would have thought you were crazy for me doing this, but now it's like, I love it and I'd love to help other people do podcasts, right? So like I created a whole nother company, you know, just to help people do podcasts and then do this podcast. And this is where I'm putting most of my effort right now is this mm-hmm. podcast. I'm having a lot of fun and it's gaining some traction. So I'm enjoying, you know, really enjoying that. But again, like I said, like, it was one of my first thoughts when you said, I think it was before we started recording, you were like, oh yeah, I'm talking to, you know, I'm in China, but I'm talking to manufacturers. And I'm like, yeah, I need to talk to this guy. Yeah. So, cause I used to do that. And I used to import these mats, you know, on container ships and, you know, all that. Right. I went both ways. I went from China to LA and then I went from China to New York, and the time frame and everything, the shipping logistics and everything, it was crazy. But it was a lot of fun. So I'm on the East Coast of, you know, in North Carolina. So it's crazy. But so right now, the only place to get this book is Kickstarter, right?
Yes. We're going to open up an online shop, basically through our website. Okay. And what we're going to release there are just normal editions. So for Kickstarter, they're going to say first edition on them on the side. So then after Kickstarter, there's no more, there's no second edition. It's just first editions for Kickstarter. And then we're just going to have the regular comic online.
Okay. And then you'll sell copies yourself and all that later on, you know, on the website.
Yeah. So,
and all the cool merch.
I've talked to Jacob and Marcus about this. Our plan is to go to as many conventions as we can as well and have all of our stuff on there.
For sure. That's something I want to start doing too. I should be at one right now, but I couldn't swing it. But there's a couple coming up, smaller ones that I'm going to hit, and eventually probably end up getting a booth and, you know, showcasing this kind of stuff, right? The creator interviews and helping, you know, just get people's story out. That's all I want to do. So, and have fun with my daughter too. So, all right. Gotcha. So anything else that you want to cover before I get into the fun questions?
No, well, just to finish on that last point, I hope we, I hope we meet sometime, you know, in person at a convention or something. We're also very, I don't know if you looked at our social media. I mean, I don't blame you if you didn't, but Marcus is running.
No, I looked at some of it. Yeah.
Marcus is running the social media. What we're trying to push is like 50% our own stuff and 50% other people's stuff. Like we're trying to get into the community, you know. And it's not something where we're like, oh, you know, it's unconditional love. We're not trying to. Yeah, go ahead.
100%.
Yeah,
I'm the same way. Like I'm, you know. We're all in this together. That's one of something that that's a theme, right? That's come up on almost every episode that I record is we're all in this together. I want to help you. You're helping me. Like, we're helping each other. It's a comic community. It's not me and you separate. Like, it's, we're not against each other, right? We're helping each other build the community for the community.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So we feature a lot of indie creators on our own social media. If you look at our threads, or Marcus is running that, but I know we have Blue Sky, we have Instagram, Facebook, we have a lot of social media, and half of our posts.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Blue Sky before this morning when I looked at it. So
yeah, neither did I actually. So, I mean, before Marcus brought it up, but he said it's good. It's better than X, he said. So I was like, okay.
Okay. Let's go. I'll definitely follow you guys on Instagram and TikTok and all that. Or if you're on TikTok, I don't think TikTok was on the list, but wherever it is, I will follow you. And when I create clips, I'll tag you guys and add you as a collaborator and stuff too.
Well, I would love to have this interview on our social media somehow. I mean, we'll tag you and stuff. Yeah. So
I will. So when I'm done, when I'm done editing, I'll post it on. I have a YouTube that it goes, you know, on video. It'll be on Apple, Spotify as audio everywhere. And then I'll create clips, put on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And then I will send you, I'll tag you in all those when I can. And then I'll also send you a full copy, like from like Google Drive. So you have full access to the episode.
Awesome.
So you guys can dice it up how you want to. And I'll send you some graphics, you know, that I create for it, you know, the thumbnails and stuff too. So,
I mean, whatever you want to do, because obviously if you're like, for example, posting it on YouTube or something, like we don't want to double post, but we could just maybe, you know, just use your tags and your links.
Sure.
So whatever works for you.
Sure. Either way. And I'll send you all that stuff in an email at the end too.
Okay.
Cool. When I do it, like in a few days, I'll have it when I edit it.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, cool. So I have some just fun, you know, like comic questions, if you're ready for that.
I don't think I'll ever be ready.
Who was your first favorite superhero?
Ooh, wow. When you say first, it's different from what I think now, but I want to say.
Hard.
It's between Batman and Superman. But it's because of the movies. I was just like, you know, Michael Keaton. And that was when I first started watching movies. I forgot the Superman actor's name, but it was like a close. I want to say Batman, to be honest.
Yeah, Batman for sure was my first favorite. Michael Keaton, Batman.
Yeah.
89 Batman was phenomenal. Jack Nicholas Joker, best Joker. I don't know. They're all good, but... all right, cool. Yeah, Batman's common. Like, I think a lot of us got into it because of Batman. I mean, I'm wearing the Batman shirt, so
I had a Batman costume when I was, and I have a picture of it. I can't show it to you right now, right away, but I have I was like 4 years old in a Batman suit with a pink gun. I don't know where the pink gun came from, but
I love it. All right, do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
The one stuck in my mind is because I bought it at a convention. I think I was like 8 years old, and it was Superman's death. I think like he was in that. I can't remember if it was exactly that one. There's a few. I think it's not. There's only one.
Yeah, there's a few death of Supermans.
So it's right. I can't remember exactly the exact one, but that one was the one where I was like, "What? Superman dies?" That's stuck in my mind.
So you were at a convention at 8. So were your parents into this kind of stuff too?
It wasn't a comic book convention. I can't tell you really what it was, but we live near Pomona, and Pomona has a very big convention center. It's huge. And my dad used to always go out there. It was like a weekend thing for us, like a family thing. It didn't matter what convention it was. We were there.
Just go to the local, just go to the weekend convention that's in town this week.
Yeah.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
Wow. I'm trying not to go Marvel DC. You know, I'm trying to go a little bit different. Honestly, this is I, it might not be what you're expecting, but I wish I was in a Peanuts world, you know, like it's just, like, I used to read the Sunday paper all the time, and Peanuts was always like,
love the Sunday's funny, the cartoon
yeah,
section,
yeah,
yep, was, comic section.
I feel like they're just like, they're always happy, you know. I would love to meet Snoopy, you know, a talking dog, talking animals.
I love that, you know, and now that I've said that you said that. That's probably what the first comics I ever read was just the Sunday comic strips, you know?
Same.
I forgot about them. I miss those. I don't know. Lucy's kind of mean, though.
A little bit.
Pulling the football away.
You know? Right? All right. But that's only because she
likes
Harley.
That's a good answer, though. Yeah. That's true. And, you know, there's no, like, Armageddon in Peanuts. You know, Fun Galactus times. Coming to, you know, destroy, eat the planet or anything. You know, it's fun. It's kids playing in the backyard.
I mean, why would you want? Why would you want to be in a DC Marvel universe where the world is like ending almost every other page,
every day?
Yeah,
exactly. I love that. All right, so if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Well, that's a good one. That is a good one. I actually think about this. And it has nothing to do about superheroes. It's something that I would like to have just as a person. And that's to be able to know, like, not the future, not like when I'm going to die or anything, but like if I could read the future for, you know, let's say like a few days in advance, let's say a week. And then I could plan myself like, okay, what, like how, because I'm always thinking like I'll like have concerts or something. I have like my guitars and I'll like mess up, right? And then what if I could go back in time and then like practice that bit and just know like this is the part where I messed up, you know? So it's a superpower.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. Just kind of know like a 3-day advance.
Yeah. I think that would be amazing.
All right. So if you could pick any superhero to be your sidekick, who would it be?
To be my sidekick. Does that mean I have to be more powerful? Because, you know, if I pick Superman, it's like...
I mean, not necessarily. I had one guy, to give you an example, I had one guy that said he wanted, like, the Flash, because the Flash would just take me, you know, him and get him out of the way and then go handle the situation, right? So it's just the Flash is hanging out with him and just to protect him, you know, not to really help.
You know what's funny? I'm between two characters, and they're both doctors. You can probably imagine which ones I'm thinking of.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah. Doctor Strange and Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan's probably got to be one of my favorite characters ever.
Yeah, because they can do it. They can basically do everything. I mean, you got Doctor Strange.
Do anything.
He's like looking into the future. He's like, hey, I saw your future 8 billion times. And like, this is what you got to do. You know, that would be great.
Right. That's a good point. I love the Watchmen series. All right. Here's the last one. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Wow. Okay. Well, like I mentioned before, I think it was before we were recording, but I traveled a lot. So. It'd probably have something to do with traveling or a suitcase, like Suitcase Man or the travel guy.
I like that.
Yeah,
something. The travel like guy. Yeah. See, you're all over the place. I mean, that's crazy. Bit, yeah. How often do you travel now?
I'm almost in a different country almost every month or every other month. But it's not because like I have like a lot of my friends think like I have a lot of money or something. They're like, did you get an inheritance or something? Like I always see you traveling, but it's not as expensive as people. Like once you're in, for example, I'm in Asia. Once I'm here, it's like flights to other countries are cheaper than flying to like San Francisco. Like LA, San Francisco is more expensive than where I'm at to like Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia. Like it's caught very, yeah. So that's
cost one of the effective.
Reasons. Yeah. And they're very,
how often?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say they're very, They're not very expensive countries. If you go to Japan and Korea, they get pricey. But if you're in Southeast Asia, it's like I eat for like $3. Like I have like a meal is like $2-3. That's
right. My brother went to Malaysia and he said that. He said everything was like so cheap. He lived like on $10 a day. It was ridiculous.
Malaysia is actually one of the more expensive countries in Southeast Asia. It's probably well, Singapore is the most expensive Asian country, but it's not really a country. It's like a autonomous region of Malaysia. And then Malaysia, you know, it's like by collateral or whatever, however you want to explain it. It's like because Singapore is so expensive, Malaysia has got expensive, but everywhere else is a lot cheaper.
How often are you back in the States?
I want to say twice a year, but it always varies. So like I was there in January. I was there for Christmas, January, and then I came here in February. And then I was traveling a little bit. I went to Vietnam twice. I was actually, I found a backpack manufacturer in Vietnam. So that's probably a potential country I have to spend a lot of time. Once we get to that, if we get to that, I'll be spending some time right. in Vietnam. But I was in the States in the beginning of the year, and I might go back in November once we print. So it's kind of like, I used to go in the summer, so it varies, but it's twice a year.
And you got to come for the conventions.
I'm planning to spend more time back home as soon as we get this kickstarted.
Going and everything. Right. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I think
before we wrap it up,
I think we covered all the bases. I mean, I can't really think of anything else unless you have another question that just pops in your head.
Can't think of one right this second, but yeah. I really appreciate having you on. I really, you know, it was fun talking to you. I look forward to hopefully one day meeting you, yeah. At least, you know, hopefully communicating and keep me posted. And we'll have you on again when you do the next Kickstarter and, you know, maybe we can do it before the Kickstarter launch and have it as part of the Kickstarter. You know, you can put the video on the Kickstarter or something. So
that would be awesome. I mean, we have a lot in common. I really enjoyed talking
to
you. So hope to do
you
it
as
again.
Well. Let's find you on socials right now. So I'm gonna find, are you on Instagram? What are you on?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I actually changed my name because at the time I was like, I want to be a writer. And then I just came up with this name for my Instagram. So it's like Epic Story X. And then there's an underscore at the end because Epic Story X was taken somehow. I thought it was like a very random name, but.
Here you are. All right. I just followed you from my Talking Comics page.
Cool.
I'll find you on my personal page too.
Awesome. I'll follow you back for sure.
Story X.
Yes. And then underscore.
I gotta spell story correctly. There you are. Follow. All right. I followed you for my personal one and my Talking Comics. But yeah, let's definitely stay in touch and chat. And hopefully we'll have you on again on the next Kickstarter or before or just in randomly. I don't care. I love doing these. So, let's hopefully one day. Well, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been a great, you know, follow him, follow the Kickstarter. I'll have all the links in the description. Subscribe, comment, like, all that fun stuff on both of us. Help spread the word about the comic. So thanks again for being with me, Richard.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.